Health Report producer James Bullen sets the scene with some of the stories that have been running today.
27-year-old Chantelle Caro has hereditary spastic paraplegia. It's a neurological disorder that makes it difficult for her to walk.
I have tight calf muscles and weak muscles in my calves. So this disability affects my gait, so I have an unstable walking.
Chantelle decided to get a pump implanted in her body that would inject a muscle relaxant called baclofen directly into her spine. She hoped it would be easier and more effective than a pill. But then the complications started.
So my first complication was that it flipped. Crouched down, I think probably bending over in the garden doing the weeding. And I noticed when I was moving back and forth, the pump itself would like pop out and like it's almost like a foot. And so the doctor couldn't refill it.
And even when they did manage to get the medication into the pump, it didn't seem to be working properly. At one of her visits to the doctor, they found the pump had injected far less of the baclofen than it was meant to. What Chantelle wasn't told was that her make and model of pump had previously been the subject of recalls in Australia and around the world. The ABC's investigation has found a litany of reported issues with the pump model, which is a Synchromed system manufactured by Medtronic. Chantelle wishes she'd been informed of the problems devices like hers have had in the past.
It's a bit concerning to not knowing it till now, since it's been implanted in me for a couple of years.
Chantelle Caro. And the reporting and audio in this piece comes courtesy of Mario Christodoulou, Alison Branley, Sophie Scott, Inga Ting and Alex Mann. You can hear and read more on the Background Briefing podcast and on the ABC News website. 44-year-old Matthew Kennedy from Sydney had an earlier version of Chantelle's pump implanted in 2003. He says that while he was in Hong Kong 2 years later, an alarm on the pump began to sound, a beeping every minute coming from inside of him. He lived with that beeping for 2 years.
It's pretty hard. I was like, either play loud music or put headphones on or do the old kid thing when they don't want to listen, put my fingers in my ear. But as I found out, that didn't really help because the noise was coming from inside of me, not outside. So I tried everything, pillow over the head, staying up really, really late and then sleeping for 2-3 hours, 4 hours.
Matthew's model of pump was the subject of an urgent medical device correction put out by the company in August 2007, the year he says he had his pump removed. He says he was never told about the problems.
No, they didn't even say there's any issues or anything.
In a statement, Medtronic defended the device.
Safety is our first priority, and we categorically reject any suggestion that Medtronic puts innovation and profits over patient safety. It is important to understand that all medical products, no matter how well designed and thoroughly tested, have potential risks associated with their use. Medtronic continues to produce and market this Synchromed infusion system today, with all required regulatory approvals delivering safe, effective and life-enhancing therapy to patients around the world.
Chantelle and Matthew's stories are just two uncovered as part of an investigation into medical devices worldwide by the International Consortium of Investigative Journalists. Scraping data from public records of approvals, malfunctions, injuries, deaths, recalls, and financial documents, the investigation reveals that 83,000 people have died around the world in the past decade due to potentially dangerous medical devices. 170 of those were in Australia. In total, the ICIJ collected more than 8 million device-related health records, including 5.4 million adverse event reports, which were sent to the US Food and Drug Administration over the past decade. An adverse event is the term the medical profession uses for when something goes wrong with a device. The Therapeutic Goods Administration regulates medical devices in Australia, and it's the body that gets notified of adverse events. But the global investigation by the ICIJ has revealed how the TGA's dependence on jurisdictions like Europe can mean problematic devices there are exported here. Risky medical devices undergo a process called conformity assessment before being approved in Australia. About 90% of these assessments, for the most serious devices, are carried out in Europe by for-profit private certifier companies. And ICIJ reporters found a March 2016 email between top health officials in Germany and Denmark revealing EU regulators have no clinical data on an estimated 90% of their highest risk devices because they were assessed as sufficiently similar to existing products. Former director of the TGA, Dr. Derek Beach, says it's impossible for the body to test the safety of every device.
There is a certain amount of research done before the device goes on the market, but really, in the long term, the only way you know how it's going to go is by monitoring how it is in the marketplace. It's getting feedback from the performance of the device in people, yes.
Only the highest risk devices are automatically audited before being approved in Australia. Lower risk devices are audited on a voluntary basis. Head of the TGA, Dr. John Skerritt, says that approach makes sense.
All products, whether they're devices or medicines, have some risk. And you've always got to look at deaths or injury and try to minimise them. Our role as a regulator is really to look at risk versus benefit on a product-by-product basis.
And once a device is for sale, it can be hard for the TGA to get it out of circulation, even when it's known to cause harm. An example of such a product is the Philips HeartStart MRX. It's a defibrillator, one of those devices that delivers an electric current to jumpstart the heart after it stops. Philips defibrillators attracted the third highest number of adverse reports, according to figures put together as part of the ICIJ investigation, and the MRX model individually received almost 100 complaints. In Canada, it was the fourth deadliest device, connected to 22 deaths. Philips pulled the defibrillators off the market in July last year. They can no longer be legally sold in Australia. But they're still being used. According to Philips, these defibrillators are still inside ambulances in South Australia, the Northern Territory and the ACT, as well as 168 of them in Western Australia. Dr. Skerritt says despite being unregistered, the use of the defibrillators is not illegal and they are in the process of being phased out.
But what we heard from those state ambulance departments was that if all those products just came straight off the market now, they wouldn't be able to have defibrillators in many ambulances just because of the sheer cost.
Associate Professor Wendy Benithan from the University of Canberra specialises in the regulation of medical devices. She says what Australia needs is a medical device registry that keeps track of who has a device implanted.
So we've recently seen a very large-scale product recall in Australia in the Takata airbags. Everybody knows what make and model motor car they have. Everybody who's been caught up with that has been contacted on numerous occasions to get that airbag replaced. If we can do it with an airbag in cars, why can't we do it with devices like pacemakers, implanted joints, things like that, that are far more directly involved in personal safety?
The mooted registry would also record when things go wrong with a device as an early warning system for the regulator. But if a registry is to keep track of all adverse outcomes, it means that doctors have to report when a device malfunctions. In 2016-17, there were almost 3,000 adverse event reports. 10% of those came from health professionals. 2 of that 10% came from doctors.
One of the problems is that a lot of doctors might say, oh, well, maybe it's just a one-off or maybe it's just this patient. But if we've got 100 doctors, all of whom are getting one patient who comes in with this device isn't doing what it's supposed to, I'll just wait until I've got a couple more and I'm confident that it is the device that's the problem before I make the report. You're automatically meaning that you've got to wait far, far longer to get that number of reports lodged to the regulator than if everybody just reported their first instance events and then that data cumulatively acted as a much earlier indicator that there are problems with that particular device.
Associate Professor Wendy Bonython, ending that wrap from Health Report producer James Bullen. And special thanks to Mario Christodoulou, Alex Mann, Sophie Scott, Alison Branley and Inga Ting, whose reporting contributed to that piece. And this is the Health Report here on RN, ABC News and CBC Radio across Canada. I'm Norman Swan.